Is this thing really on? Yes, it is. We are Total Package. We are here at the Black Girls Vote First Annual Gala. This is really exciting because we have some really power hitters in the building. We have Joy Ann Reed, who is the political analyst. She has her own show, AM Joy, on MSNBC. If you guys are not familiar with her, she is phenomenal. She is the epitome of black girl magic. And we have a lot of people that we're going to speak to today. I can't wait to get a lot of people on the microphone, but Total Package is here. We are in the building. We are one of the media sponsors for this gala, and we're really excited because we have a lot of beautiful black women here. And, I mean, if you guys know, like, when it comes to voting, we are the backbone of the Democratic Party. I mean, if you look at the statistics, we come out. It is not a game. We come out in full force support more than even the white women or our white counterparts. So I will have some guests with us shortly. We'll discuss about Black Girl Vote and what that means. And I can't wait to speak to all of the beautiful, phenomenal women that are here. So right now, standing next to me is a fellow New Yorker. She is the epitome of black girl magic. Allow all the finger snaps, finger snaps, finger snaps. We have Aretha Gay, who's a former executive director of Kaiser Permanente. She is here tonight. She's being honored. And I mean, when you got the call, you were being honored at the Black Girls Vote. Like, what was your reaction?
Oh my God, I was just like, this is such an honor. I mean, when you think about what Black Girl Vote stands for, yes, about inspiring black women to make a difference in communities and in the world. And I think about the work, my career at Kaiser Permanente, and just the dynamite things we did to improve the health and well-being of communities. I was like, that's right. That's me. It
should. You're like, yeah, I need like, all that honor.
Like, yeah, I need all that honor. All that honor is good. It's good.
So when was the first time you voted? Like, do you remember the first time you actually went into...
Oh, my God. Well, I could tell you that I grew up in a community, and I grew up with neighbors who were very active. And I remember as a very young girl stuffing, that's when we used to have to stuff letters and send out leaflets in the mail. And so I remember that. And so voting was always something that was very important to my family, and we were very active in helping other and candidates actually win. So I do remember the first time that I voted, and it was just so invigorating because when you grow up and seeing what that process is about, and then you actually get to do it yourself, it was just like yes, really exciting growing up in New York.
But all the years
was really big,
all the years of you voting, what was your the moment when you saw your first black president? What was, where were you? Do you remember your emotion?
Oh my gosh, I remember we were just all together and we never thought this day would come, and when it happened we were just like in tears and just full of joy. And you think about all that happened to get to this point and just the trials and tribulations that we as black people have been through, and we was like, we have finally arrived, we have made it. And he represents so much, still represents so much, and he will always be my president.
Hey!
Always.
Yes, definitely. So I know you have a daughter. And do you instill those same type of values and you know, the importance of voting to her?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, my daughter not only is engaged in the voting focus on voting, but she's also focused on community and well-being. And so when I think about, she's now a young woman and she's in a career and she's, you know, putting together all kinds of community drives and, you know, fixing food for the homeless and, you know, just really using her voice and advocating and being able to advocate on behalf of people who can't advocate for themselves. And you talk about something that warms your heart. That right there, I mean, that's just taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for, you know, joining us. We will be in there. We will be cheering you as you get your honor. I'm so excited for you.
I am so excited to be here.
So what are your plans? What are your plans? You retired.
Hey, I started my own business.
Oh, good. See, that's what we're all about here.
It's all about continuing the great work about supporting our community. Yes. So I have a company. The name of it is Alita.
Yes.
I'm the CEO. It's named after my daughter. Yes. My name is Alicia. My son is David. So there you go.
Yeah, so what does he do?
Stay tuned. So actually, what we do is we connect corporations to clients. And when the clients win, they have to support our communities as well.
Good.
So it's an economic empowerment for our communities.
Good. Love it.
Awesome.
Love it. Good speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
So another beautiful, strong, powerful woman we have with us here on Total Package Unwrapped, former mayor Stephanie Rollins. Blake.
You're like my own hype woman. Go ahead.
I have to give it up for you. I mean, your hair is like,
thank
woo,
you very much.
I love, love
thank
this
you,
hair.
Thank you, thank you. You know
style.
How we do in Baltimore.
I know.
Can't be basic.
You're right. We don't do basic. No basic over
no,
here.
No,
but
no.
But also some really great news. You're part of the Airbnb, the advisory
oh
board.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was so excited. And the thing that I like the most is the work that they're doing around racial equity and inclusion. They're doing a lot of very interesting work, taking a look at, racism, prejudice, and I was blown away by their attention to make sure that that minority communities weren't treated any differently.
Inclusion.
In the experience, though.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
When you're trying to book, right. So that was something that was very important to them. So that I felt like they really spoke to my values.
Yeah, because I mean, I think in the news they were having some issues and people saying
about
that they're
gap,
being
right, yeah. 11% gap.
Being discriminated against
yes.
as well. So now you're there. And
Laura
think,
Murphy.
Yes. Laura
yeah,
Murphy.
Janae.
Wow.
It's like the dream
I
team
know,
up in there.
You guys, there's a whole lot of black girl magic going on up in there.
That's what they need. That's what they got.
Yeah. So you started already.
Yeah.
And so what do you actually do when you meet?
A couple of things.
Boards?
So I assist with Janae with the partnerships that she has. You know, she's got the great partnership with the Urban League.
Yes.
The AARP. She's
yes.
working on one with the National Negro Congress.
Yes.
Congress of Black Women, sorry.
Okay.
And we're also making sure, they want to make sure that when they do cities, they unveil these experiences
yes.
Exclusively for Airbnb users,
yes. mm-hmm.
that the experiences reflect the communities that they're in.
Okay.
So if they were to have Baltimore experiences, they would be, the full Baltimore experience
yes.
and not just,
generic.
Yeah,
yes.
and not just, some communities.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
I'm excited, and I'm also excited because of the economic empowerment aspect of it. We're making sure that we explain to people how they can use one of their biggest assets to really build wealth.
Great. So, Black Girls Vote. This is mm-hmm. our first annual gala. Why did you feel it was so important to support this gala and the organization?
I think we cannot shine a light enough on the importance of Black women, Black girls in the electoral process around the country. We see that races are hinging upon Black voter turnout, and particularly Black women voter turnout.
Yes.
And I want us to own it.
Yes.
I want us to control, who we are putting in office and really, own that power and that voice.
Yeah, because I know this last election, Black women did well across the board.
Absolutely. And I had to pinch myself. It took me a couple of hours before I was like, all right, this is real.
Yeah, this is happening,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, and we have a few more races
yeah.
that are going to be in runoff. So
yes.
I hope that we really show up.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, we showed up, 94%, 95%
yeah.
and we were behind Hillary Clinton, so it was really important. So I think
what do we have?
The midterm?
We still have Atlanta.
Oh, yes. Yes,
yeah.
we do, because
yeah.
the
Don't
mayor,
forget.
Yes, the, yes. That's a really important, because we have a white woman and a black woman
Absolutely.
That are running office, because they were so close they couldn't make the
yeah,
call,
the
runoff
right? is going to be next month.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So make sure all of our Atlanta listeners, make sure you're tuned in, get out and vote and support whoever you want. But that black girl magic, little sprinkle, you got to sprinkle
yeah,
that
yeah.
a little bit.
Sprinkle it around.
You gotta sprinkle it a little bit.
What's Atlanta going to do without a little black girl magic?
Hello. That is like the epitome of
Absolutely.
Black girl magic right in Atlanta. How could it be without? Well, thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us. We
it
really
is
appreciate
my pleasure.
You. We got to get you in studio to do a full podcast.
Whenever
and talk
you're
about
ready.
Everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take
Thanks.
Care.
And we are back. And we are back with the Black Wax Museum. And it's like, I moved to Baltimore probably about 13 years ago. And I had a chance to probably go to the Black Wax Museum probably about 8-9 years ago. And it was just amazing. And everything that is in that museum, how long you guys have been there, and how important it is to still preserve what you guys do.
Exactly.
because I walked in and I thought it was a person, right? I thought it was a person, and I was like, oh no, that's the Black Wax Museum, you know? And please state your name.
Okay, I'm Dr. Joanne Martin, founder of the National Great Blacks in Wax Museum.
And you guys have been around for such a long time, and I know you guys have seen how important voting,
absolutely,
voting rights are, and how we have been terrorized, suppressed, even now.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Even now, they're trying different things to influence our vote, to suppress our vote, redistrict certain areas. So how, as you've seen in your industry, because you are a historian, you have told a story, how important this is to keep supporting Black girls' vote.
It's important because if we have any chance of survival and preserving our history, our culture, then we have to be willing to pass the baton. And so for me, the notion of a Black girl's vote,
yes,
is an organization of people of all walks of life across the board, but there is a movement to assure that we do understand the importance of voting. I talk about my father who wanted to be an engineer, so he went to the Navy at a time when the only role that Black men could play in the Navy was as cooks and swabbing the deck and stewards and so forth. But my father voted every election. My father understood what Langston Hughes meant with "Let America be America again. America never was America to me." Those two things, "Let America be America again," and the promise, the ideal, the potential of America.
Yes.
America never was America to me. So all of the discrimination that my father and we continue to have to fight against, but we fight because of the potential of America. And that's what Black Girls Vote stands for, the potential of this country to be America.
So what do you say to the young people who don't come out and vote, you know, or you think it's not important because they see something like a Donald Trump being elected and they're just like, well, it's rigged anyway, and even though Hillary got, you know, the popular vote because of Electoral College, he was still put in office.
I asked them, what do you think about those people who came before them who were on slave ships, but who had the will to survive, and those people whose blood is flowing through your veins right now because they had the will to survive? Do we owe them anything? Do you owe my father anything, who had to suffer the humiliation of being a brilliant Black man in the South, where there was no place for a brilliant Black man? Do you owe him anything? For all of those people who were lynched, do we owe them anything? For those Black men who disappeared and they were found as convicts in the convict lease system when slavery was supposed to be over, do we owe them anything? And to your mother who helps you, do you owe her anything because she is there for you? To the children unborn, do we owe them anything in terms of a planet that is clean and green? A planet that has love and understanding for its people and acceptance of people through all of their similarities and all their differences. Do we owe them anything? And to someone my age who is fired up to resist, someone my age who will not allow someone to try and turn us back because my father fought too hard, my teachers fought too hard, my grandparents, our ancestors, whether they were on slave ships or on spaceships, our people have fought hard, and we owe them something. And the fight is not just for the young, but for old people like me.
Mm-hmm. And this fight still continues. Our voice has to be heard.
Our voice has to be heard.
At all times. Thank you so much for joining us on Total Package. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Make sure you guys go and see the Great Blacks and Wax Museum on North Avenue. So, you know, you walk around town in the good old city of Baltimore.
Love it.
And you see my B-more, my B-more, my B-more,
yes.
Hashtag my B-more,
yes.
All over the place.
Do you? All right, that makes me feel good. Good, good.
Because visit Baltimore.
Well, here's the deal.
Deion Joyner
Weems. All right. But let me just
like
stop you there. Let
the
me stop you there.
Of
hashtag. I'm not.
What do you mean you're not? How
I'm
can
not.
You say you are not?
Because it's not me. So here's the deal.
Okay.
Visit Baltimore,
yes.
Doesn't own hashtag my be more.
Okay.
Deion Joyner Weems doesn't own hashtag
okay.
my be more. The people of Baltimore literally were using that to take back the narrative and to show their city for what it was. And Visit Baltimore noticed that conversation was happening. It was
yes.
like, look, we need to get involved
yes.
in that. Because
yes.
the perception that we're hearing is that this is a city on fire, that nothing but criminals walk our streets. But yet when you look at hashtag my be more, you know that's not the truth.
That's not the truth. I mean, listen, you gotta understand. I've been here for 13 years,
wow.
okay? And I'm originally from New York, grew up in New York, migrated here, and my friends who come down from New York, they love Baltimore because they have a whole different perception because of what I've shown them of Baltimore.
Correct.
You know, I remember my girlfriend's first time coming down to Baltimore, and I lived in Pikesville at the time. And I picked her up from a train station, went to Pikesville, hung out Owens Mills. We were doing a couple things in the city.
Yep.
And then she was like, "Where's the Wire?" I said, "The Wire, girl."
But see, but here's the thing,
girl,
and I'm not going to bore your listeners with
yes.
these facts, but let
yes.
me just say this. Of
yes.
the 25.6 million people
yes.
that visited Baltimore
yes.
in 2016,
yes.
over 51% of them were visiting family and friends. So if I am visiting you, Sanjay, and I say, okay, where are we going to go this weekend?
Yes.
I'm visiting you from Atlanta.
Yes.
Where am I going to go
yes.
this weekend?
Yes.
And you tell me, you know what, Deion, it's safer for us to stay in the house? Then you just planted a seed that I'm going to take back to Atlanta when people ask me, Deion, how was your trip to Baltimore? So to really understand it, the people of Baltimore, there's no one that can tell our story better than the people that live here.
Yes.
Because why would we lie?
Yes.
Why would I lie
yes.
if I'm raising three boys under the age of six
yes.
right here in this city? So trust and believe that when you see hashtag my be more, that's the real behind the scenes authentic peek into what this city truly is.
It is. I mean, I said I'm always talked about being the ambassador of Baltimore.
You are,
right?
You are a cheerleader. One of the cutest, you're the cute cheerleader that you hate. Yes.
So
yes.
people are always like, I mean, you love New York. I was like, I love New York. Believe me, I love New York, but I also love Baltimore, you know?
Oh,
Baltimore
you.
Has been good to me. I've met the most genuine people here. Like, seriously.
But you know why?
And they support me, and they support my business. Like, that's what's so important. Like, you would see a lot of crabs in the barrel. I'm not saying that they're not crabs in the barrel here.
That's
but
life.
We,
right.
Like, we're here, Total Package is here to support another black woman's vision.
Yep.
You know? And that's what it's all about.
And so can I just tell
yes.
you with Total Package and just, like, I hugged you before we even
yes.
jumped on the mic.
Yes.
The fact that the thing in Baltimore is that it doesn't matter how much money you make, how famous you believe you are.
Yes.
It's how you treat the people in
yes.
Baltimore that you're received
yes.
in, that's given back to
yes.
you. That's what makes us so real.
Yes.
People say if you go to New York, if you can make it in New York,
yes.
you can make it anywhere.
Here's
the deal. If you can make it in Baltimore, because we will call you out on your BS. If you can make it in Baltimore, you can make it anywhere. And
yeah.
it's one of the realest cities
yeah.
that I know.
You know, it's so funny. I met a director who oh my God, why is his name slipping my head? Anyway, he was a director for Selma. And he decided, his name will come to me. I just saw, he just did a film with Common here in Baltimore.
Okay.
And he could live anywhere in the country, in the world.
Yep.
And he chose here.
Yep.
He chose here because he felt like this was the realest city.
So,
yes.
on that. Common was a part of, now a campaign to visit Baltimore did have.
Yes.
Common supported Baltimore because he filmed his first movie, Love, here.
Yes.
In Baltimore.
Yes.
So he fell in love with the people of Park Heights.
Yes.
And he was like, the people that I see walking your streets remind me of my people back in Chicago.
Yep.
So anything that I can help in supporting the city of Baltimore, I will do.
Nice.
And that's huge because
that's
this is a
major.
That's when the whole ego comes
of
out.
Of course.
You can take that out of the
yeah.
equation. He can love and represent Chicago, which he does to the fullest.
Yeah.
But it's just recognizing what real people are. So
yes.
I have to say, if Common, if you're listening, God bless you and thank you.
Yeah, no, seriously, because I said the cinematographer, he got nominated. He was the first African-American to be nominated ever for cinematography.
What?
In umpteen years, but if I arrive last year, it's gonna slip. I'm about to Google it right now as we're on.
Okay.
The,
yeah, and I'm going to then take that and then spread that to the
no
masses.
Seriously. And I said
hashtag might be more.
Yeah,
on that
I want to show their film that they have. It's called Black America Again. And that is a documentary. Have you?
Yeah, I've heard.
Yes.
I've heard the title.
Yes. So anyway, we just did the, we just did the screening for Bradford Young. That's his name, Bradford Young. So he lives here in Baltimore with his wife and raises his kids because he says that Baltimore is the most authentic place in the country right now.
Okay, I know we're not supposed to be talking about business, but can I please get connected?
Oh, sure, I will
him,
get you
that's,
connected.
That's an ambassador that needs yes. for him to tell his story.
Tell his
that's
story because he just shot something with a sitcom in here, which is kind of like an extended music video. And we saw it at the Washington West Film Festival about 2 weeks ago. And Bradford Young lives here. He's working on Star Wars now as a cinematographer.
Y'all, I just dropped the mic. Okay. I just dropped the mic because I'm looking at her like,
no, seriously, because he just got nominated. He was nominated for Best Cinematography on his film Arrival. And he said he chose here in Baltimore to raise his kids because he just loves it. So I'll get you in contact
you.
With them. And yeah.
Can I just tell you, this is the first time I've ever done
a podcast.
This is my first
oh,
time.
No,
so
yeah.
I feel...
You gotta and come because
Sanjay. Oh my God!
We got no. We're gonna do some more because we have to feature you because you are Black. I mean, you are definitely you love Baltimore.
I do.
And just as far as what you do,
do,
you know, just being in that line of industry and business, like that's really important. And I don't think a lot of women, young women, know that that position exists. So we have to, you know, let people know exactly what you do, girl. What you do, girl, for Visit Baltimore.
Okay, so just to let you know, I am the Vice President of Marketing
yes.
and Community Affairs at Visit Baltimore, which is the official marketing agency for the city of Baltimore. So every day I get to wake up and sell the city that
yes.
I was born and raised.
Yes.
And that comes with its challenges at times, but it's nothing that I am afraid of.
Yes. Challenge you all. We're not afraid of anything.
Oh,
we ain't
no.
never scared.
You see where we are
we ain't
right
never
now.
Scared.
You know we are right now.
Thank you, Dion. I
thank
appreciate
you. Oh my God.
You.
Okay, so
all right,
can
cool.
You take a okay, thank
cool.
You.
Bye. So my GT posse just stepped in the building. You see her
yes.
on MSNBC. AM Joy. Joy Ann Reed, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited that you are here.
Thank you. Love that coat.
Thank
very
you.
Cute. Your coat game is on point.
Oh, snap, snap, snap. Black girl magic.
Yes.
So you are here supporting Black Girl Vote, the
yes.
first annual ball. Why was it important for you to take a trek to Baltimore to support this?
Well, you know what? Voting, I am a vote monger. It's the one thing that I harass more people about than anything else in life. I think it's the most important thing of all. And, you know, African Americans, Black women especially, we hold it down. We are super voters. And that is how you change everything from your mayor to how your schools are run to how your, you know, DA's office treats Black Lives Matter cases. It's all about voting. Every other right comes from that.
Yeah, because you just recently broke it down. It went viral because you like put somebody, you you checked someone, you broke down the facts. You were like, listen, we are not going to go with these alternative facts.
No, we don't.
So how do you deal with that? I mean, every day, I mean, especially in this climate, I mean, this is like kind of like the Twilight Zone, I know, for most journalists, because
yeah.
they're just like, we're telling the truth and we're trying to be transparent, and then you're dealing with that administration who is and people are believing them. So
yeah.
how do you deal with that?
It's hard because we, you know, in this business, and I've worked in politics and also covered politics, and I'm just not accustomed to people who openly, blatantly lie
mm-hmm.
And who deal with what they call alternative facts. They created an entire new universe for their own followers with a whole different set of facts, but they aren't real. And I think the reality is it's up to us as journalists to put reality on the table and to defend reality, because there are no alternative facts. There are facts and there are lies. And if somebody lies, you have to call them out. That's our job.
Yes. So the elections just happened and Democrats swung, you know,
very
they came
well.
Out. And of course, Black women came out.
Yes.
So what do you look for the next election? Like, what do you foresee? And what do you think that we should be doing on the ground to make sure that this momentum continues.
Just what Black Girls Vote does, registering voters. The return on investment for registering Black voters is the highest of the return on investment of registering anybody else in the country. If you register 100 Black women, you generally get 99 Black voters who are going to vote progressive. If you register 100 white voters, you may get 40 who are going to vote progressive. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. And the Democratic Party is going to have to realize if they want to win, they need to recognize who their base is. Their base is us. We are the base. They need to listen to us, respect and value us. Otherwise, they're going to go back to doing what they normally do, which is lose.
So how do we encourage our Black men? How do we, as Black women, encourage our Black men to come out and vote as well?
Well, the statistics show that when Black women vote, we tend to take people with us. So for instance, you know, when I vote, we have two, now three voting age children in our house, and I never vote alone. I always have my voting age children with me, and two of my three kids are boys, are Black men.
Yes.
And so the reality is Black women are already doing the work of getting Black men to the polls.
Nice.
We do it in our families. We take our dads, our uncles, our brothers, our sons. So we already carry Black men to the polls. Mm-hmm. But I think that African-American men need to realize, number one, that they can be empowered the same way we are. But you have to remember, too, you know, there are a lot of issues that are keeping Black men from the polls. There are a lot of Black men who are disenfranchised unfairly because of the war on drugs.
Yes.
There are a lot of states where they can't vote. In Virginia, hundreds of thousands of people finally got their vote back.
Yep,
so we need to empower Black men to know what, you know what, you can have the power, but we need to support and help them take it back.
Well, I am ecstatic that I've been speaking to. What's next for you? You have the great show. Ratings are doing well. So what's next?
Well, I have another book that I'm supposed to be working on.
Okay.
So next year I should have another book out. I'm working on documentary projects.
Great.
I'm just doing all sorts of stuff. I'm always busy.
That's my Guyanese girl right there.
Yes, because, you know, Guyanese people, we have the work.
Man.
You know, we work.
Jobs.
That's all we do. 10 jobs. We don't sleep. We're not lazy.
All right. Thank you, Joanne Reed. I appreciate you being here Unwrapped. Love you so much.
Thank you so much.
Make sure you guys check her out. MSNBC.
GT Posse.
Yes. All right. So we are rounding out the evening. It was such a phenomenal gala. I mean, you, Miss Simone, CNN political contributor, press secretary for Bernie Sanders. I mean, you did a great job as Mistress
of
Ceremony.
I had a good time. The crowd made it easy. The girls were absolutely amazing. I just love the whole program, okay? I love everything about Black Girls Vote, and I love that it was all these young people. When I was 10 years old, I couldn't have gotten up and given a whole speech and commanded the whole room.
Those girls were
okay. I was struggling. I was struggling to do that at 16. So I was thoroughly impressed. Those young people are why we were all here tonight. So that's why I got up off a 12-hour flight and ran up to Baltimore for Black Girls Vote.
I mean, we have a lot of powerful people, influential people in Baltimore. And we're really excited because Baltimore has been a hub recently in the last couple of years, especially since the whole Freddie Gray situation that has happened. It's put the eye on Baltimore. But I was telling another young lady, Bradford Young, who was just nominated for his cinematography, one of the first African-American cinematographers to be nominated for an Oscar for his movie Arrival. He lives here in Baltimore. He's from Louisville.
Does he really?
He's from
Louisville,
Kentucky.
First of all, I've seen Arrival twice because they play it on the plane.
Okay.
It's an amazing movie.
Yes.
Like, it is. Okay.
And
I did not know.
He chose Baltimore to live in Baltimore because he feels it's the most authentic city in the country.
I believe Baltimore is very authentic. Look, I think that there is, for all the negative things people have to say about Baltimore, I think there's a really rich history here and lots of moving and shaking and opportunity. There's a woman here named Jody Davis who's a designer.
Yes, Jody's
and
great.
I wear Miss Jody's stuff all the time.
Jody.
And I found her here in Baltimore.
Yes.
I was at the barbershop. People at the barbershop are like, you don't need to go to Macy's. You need to go across the street and see Miss Jody.
Yeah.
That is the kind of community that Baltimore is. And that's the potential that Baltimore has to have the eyes of the world looking at them, but for some really great things.
Yes.
So I'm excited about Baltimore. I'm excited about Black Girls Vote. I'm excited about this community because I think great things have been birthed and are being birthed here. So I'm just happy to be a part.
So, you know, it's been so much news talking about the Democrat Party is broken. We need to fix ourselves. And there's so many different things. And then Bernie Sanders was just on and he was just saying, like, we need to move forward.
Yeah,
you know, like
it's about time to move forward. I mean, I guess 365 days later, I would hope we could move somewhere except back.
So what is your thoughts on that? Do you think that it's broken? Do you think that we just need to just let go of all the stuff that happened in 2016 and just...
Look, I think we should move on and not necessarily forget what happened.
Yes.
But look, the fact of the matter is that the Democratic Party compromised their integrity during the primary 2016 primary season. That's just the facts. Like the people at the DNC, they made some calculated decisions that resulted in some very calculated mistakes.
Yes.
That resulted in some people losing their jobs. So I think going forward, the Democratic Party apparatus, particularly the Democratic National Committee, has made a commitment to be more transparent, to be better. They put some new people as voting members on the DNC. I am one of those individuals. I'm now an at-large delegate. But I think it's time for us to move forward, because guess what? While Democrats and folks on the left are fighting and infighting and tearing at one another, the Republicans are trying to pass a tax reform bill that will result in 38 million people being taxed. Like, literally, it would adversely affect 38 million middle-class people. The taxes would jump up, some upwards of 20%.
Mm-hmm.
There's folks trying to repeal and replace Obamacare. People keep waging war on my uterus. And the uteruses of people all across America. So, look, there are just so many. I mean, education is on the line. There's so many other things that are happening while we are infighting. And so we have to address it, know that it's a relationship we got to work on. I like to think of the Democratic Party as one big family reunion, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you go to family reunion and you and I, Kiki, right? You and I, Kiki, don't really get along. You and Cousin Timmy got issues. Yes. But at the end of the day, you still family.
Yes.
And if somebody comes for you, y'all are all going to band together and handle it. So some people are coming for us, Democratic Party.
Yes.
And because we're family, we're all going to band together and handle it. Yeah. So I am very optimistic. Tuesday was a really great example of what could happen when folks on the left, progressives, people jump up and do good work.
Mm-hmm.
And we put real resources in the communities that constitute our base. So that's what I expect to see going forward.
So, I mean, you know, we just had the elections, and the first time I met you was at the gathering spot in Atlanta. So I know you guys spent a lot of time there doing a lot of panel discussions. So, but Atlanta is a hotbed right now for
election. Absolutely.
So what's your thoughts on that?
I think folks need to go out and elect Keisha Lance Bottoms. I would love to see Mayor Keisha in Atlanta. And I think Atlanta and Georgia as a whole is a really good example of what can happen when you start to put resources into a community or a state that you're actively trying to build up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has been happening in Atlanta and in Georgia as a whole. Atlanta in 2018 could potentially elect the first black woman as governor in the United States of America. The fact that it's 2017, almost 2018, and we still don't have any black female governors is a problem. Up until Tuesday, we didn't have any black lieutenant governors. Now we got two. So Atlanta and Georgia is a real opportunity, and I hope folks are paying attention. I hope people are paying attention in Alabama. There's a special election coming up on Tuesday, December 12th. And an alleged pedophile is on the ballot, on the Republican side of the ticket. So change can really happen when we show up and when we vote. And that's why I love Black Girls Vote, because that's what they're all about.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I said you did really.
Thank you so much.
You kept the crowd going and moving. And, I mean, you got to come back to Baltimore, man.
I will come back to Baltimore.
Thank you for joining us on Total Package Unwrapped.
Thank you. Total Package.